Let's pray.
Lord Heavenly Father, be our vision. Lead us into places that grow us deeper in you. Help us to come to know you and to glorify you in all we do. May your grace abound in us. May we hear your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions. Sometimes it's hard to hear God. There are periods where it seems like the word of the Lord is rare in those days. I grew up in the church. I grew up on the mission field. Growing up, it seemed like the word of the Lord was easy to find, even if it wasn't always present. There were people all around me speaking grace into my life. Then I got older, moved, and it became harder to find voices that spoke grace into my life. Through the complacency and hypocrisy of some who tried, I became hard of listening. Sometimes when we become hard of listening, it's not because we don't hear, but because we don't understand when we do hear. I was lying in bed one night, and I heard the voice of the Lord. It wasn't a literal voice, but it was a knowledge that something was happening, a calling. God was calling me to something, calling me to abandon my plans to travel the world after graduating high school and to continue my education. But what and why was really lost on me. The answers were there. Hindsight is 20/20. But at the time, I was not able to understand. I was not as wise as Samuel, who went to Eli and asked him why he was called. I had only applied to Point Loma because my mom insisted I apply to at least one college. And I got in, and so that's where I went. I studied theater because it was fun. I did what was right in my own understanding because I was there without understanding. Then, the summer of my sophomore year, God spoke again. It was a saying go. God was calling me to a purpose. And I'm going to be honest, I did not listen. I was not accustomed to hearing from the Lord anymore. And I did not go to someone else to have them tell me what was going on. If I had been young Samuel in that circumstance, instead of going and finding Eli, I would have just rolled over and gone back to sleep. Years passed, I worked in theater, and I became increasingly dissatisfied with it. It came to the point where I started to look for other work. But I'd done theater in high school, I'd done theater in university, and I'd done theater for 4 years. And if I was going to do something else, I would have to be retrained. So I started looking for something else. But nothing came. I prayed and I fasted. I spent time searching for what God would have me do. And nothing came. The word of the Lord seemed very rare in that time. Now, I grew up as a missionary kid, and most missionaries, especially those who are not pastors like my dad, who is not a pastor, only have a handful of sermons. Because really, what are the chances you're going to preach at more than 4 or 5 times at the same church throughout furloughs? My dad's sermon, his main one at least, was on his calling. And it was about when Moses spoke to the burning bush. Well, one Sunday, Lauren and I actually had the day off on a Sunday together, and so we went to church. And normally that didn't happen. Normally I would just listen to sermons online on my lunch break. But this Sunday we went to church together, and the service was on the burning bush. It was, listen, when God calls, with the passage, the burning bush. I thought that was cool. That evening, Lauren went to a church event. I was home alone, so I listened to my normal sermon online. And it was on listening when God calls. The passage was the burning bush. Okay, twice is a coincidence, I know. But it had my attention. I was doing my Sunday call to my mom. I'm a good son. She'll vouch for that when she hears this sermon online. And she mentioned that they had heard another speaker this Sunday, and it was really good. And so, after I hung up the phone call and had a couple more hours where I didn't have anything to do, I was like, I'll listen to that. I went, found it online, listened to it. It was on listening when God calls. The passage was the burning bush. In art, if something happens twice, it might be a coincidence. But if it happens at least three or more times, most likely the author is trying to point something out. I've always felt like God, this creator of the world, is in some ways an artist. And so at this point, he had my attention. What was God trying to point out? After years of trouble listening, I could have said with Samuel, "Speak, for your servant hears." At the end of that sermon, the preacher said that God was calling his people, and he could be calling some too, and then gave a long list of things that people might be called to. And in that list, he said, "Go to seminary." And when he said that, it felt like a metal pipe hit me right in the sternum. I knew what God was calling me to. There are only so many things you can do with a degree from seminary. Since that day, there's been a lot of listening and trying to figure out what God wants me to do with this degree. And the point is really, though, that God does call. Looking back, the problem was not that God wasn't calling most of or the whole time, but that I was not willing to listen. You see, God works grace into our lives to shape us. He sent his word to guide us. He sends the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We have to be willing, though, to listen. We have to be okay on the days when it feels like the word of the Lord is rare. We need to be still listening when the Lord does speak so that we can hear and respond, "Speak, for your servant hears." We also need to be listening so that we are not like Eli, who does not hear and does not understand at first when Samuel comes to him. Helping validate and offer guidance to others when they are being called is part of our participation in that calling as a church. If you feel like you are being called, go talk to someone who has been called, and they can help you try to understand your calling. Sometimes God uses others to speak into our lives because they can see what we are missing. I've been blessed to have those people, and I encourage anyone who is trying to understand a calling to go find someone who can help you understand the one who is calling your name in the middle of the night. Others help when we feel like the days that the word of the Lord is rare in these days. As we are called to Christ, though, we have to realize as Christians, we have other basic callings that should not require a Samuel-type calling. Things that we can be called to as a Christian, like living a righteous life, forsaking sin. We are called to pursue a relationship with God, growing in love, grace, and holiness. We are also called to call others to Christ. The first disciples got this. As soon as they were called, they went and called someone else. And that takes us to our first passage of this week, where Jeremy read John 1:43. You see, there had been about 400 years between the last prophet Malachi and the birth of Jesus. So much time like in the time of Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare in the days of Nathanael. Imagine his surprise when his friend Philip comes to him, who after being called by Jesus says, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Nazareth." This was very unexpected news. If Samuel, who lay where the ark of God was, did not recognize the word of the Lord when it came to him, why would Philip? It's not surprising that Nathanael responded, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip said, "Come and see." Come and see. It's probably a good point in the sermon to point out Philip's evangelism strategy. Philip tries Andrew's evangelism strategy. You see, a few verses before, Andrew had met Jesus, and then he'd immediately gone to his brother, Simon Peter, and he said, "We found the Messiah." And Peter's like, "Sweet, don't even bother recording my response in the Bible. I'm on my way." And they went and met Jesus. Philip, on the other hand, goes to Nathanael, tries the exact same evangelism strategy, and fails. Nathanael turns around and says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But in the face of that snide response, Philip brings out one of the best ways to deal with disbelief. Come and see. We can't reason people to Christ. They have to experience him for themselves. Fortunately, we have scripture and tradition that show us who he is. We have the Holy Spirit that speaks grace through us. That's one of the reasons why we do the things we do when we get together to worship God. We believe that he will be here with us. When we witness to someone and they aren't sure if they believe that we have found him, found someone real, found someone who can change us and bring hope into our lives, we can say, come and see. Inviting others to meet Jesus, inviting them to make their own judgment, inviting them to experience the grace, peace, and love that's celebrated by millions of people every day around the world throughout time. The truth, of course, is we can't save anyone. The Holy Spirit works through us so that they can accept that Christ died for their sins, repent, and be saved. All we get to do is participate by carrying that grace. We can go, say what we have found, offer for them to come and see, and maybe they too will hear God calling them. We don't have to convert people. We have to introduce them. It's a lot like matchmaking. You can go up to someone, tell them all about your friend you think they would like, and most likely you'll get the response, okay? On the other hand, if you invite both parties to an event where they both can be there and meet each other, they might actually hit it off. Telling all about Jesus doesn't hurt, but experiencing Christ through scripture and his body in this world provides an opportunity to be called by Christ, an opportunity to either accept or reject. They, like Samuel and Nathaniel, may not recognize it at first. It took Eli telling Samuel what was going on for him to finally get it. Sometimes people hear God calling them but don't understand. We need to be aware when someone comes asking us questions so we can say, God is calling. But often we wait for someone to come asking questions. People need to be invited like Nathaniel. Often they will give a skeptical response to our invitation. But people are a lot more willing to just check it out for themselves than believing us that they can meet God. It's a lot easier to say, have you ever actually read the Bible for yourself? Or why don't you come to a church service or church event? And even just check it out. There is a warning though, if you do this to someone that's of another religion, you may be asked if you've ever read that religion's scriptures or been to one of their services. And you may have to get them to take your invitation seriously. And if you're invited, be willing to go, but keep your eyes open and be polite. Learn so that later you can explain, they believe this, but we have this hope that we believe in. Other times, you may be met with a statement of, I don't do the Christian thing, or I'm not religious. In that circumstance, it's absolutely appropriate to be honest with the person. You're not inviting them to a religion. You're inviting them into a relationship. The hope is that they may be like Nathaniel, who went, saw Jesus, experienced the wonder of a God who knows and loves him. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming towards him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathaniel said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are King of Israel. Nathanael got it. Not because of a five-step conversion process, not because of Philip's expert theology. He got it because he experienced Christ and found that Christ had been there all along. We believe in this thing called prevenient grace. And I looked up and read and reread a bunch of exclamations describing prevenient grace, but actually Wikipedia had the simplest and most elegant explanation. It is divine grace that precedes human decision. In other words, God will start showing love to that individual at a certain point in their life. It starts to happen to that individual without any consideration of anything he or she may have done to either good or bad. The person does not have to be religious, and most are just people, like all of mankind who are evildoers. No previous action or thought induces God to act graciously towards them. At that moment in their lives, it's up to the person to accept the sudden light of God's love towards them and respond in kind. God shows love towards all freely, even if we don't deserve it, because everyone's nature is corrupted by the effects of sin. Prevenient grace allows a person to engage their God-given free will to choose salvation offered by God in Jesus Christ or reject it. So we should not be worried or nervous about inviting others to come and see. Christ is there before we get there, just like he is there for Nathanael before Philip came. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows that it is the other person's choice to accept the invitation or not. He also knows we have a choice to invite. We have a choice to make sharing part of our spiritual practices. We have to be careful to act responsibly when others come to us asking questions. And I guarantee you, it will happen when you feel like you are being awoken from sleep, trying to figure out what is going on and how to respond. God also knows how much grace we have been given and received, and the choices we make to take action on that grace with those we love by inviting them to come and see who God is, sharing the grace we have been given. Paul says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. We were bought with a price, so we need to live in response to that price. If that same price was paid for another person, why would we not give them the same opportunity to accept their freedom? A freedom from wandering aimlessly, doing what is right in their own eyes. A freedom from destruction that is caused by bad choices. The freedom that can only come through repentance and the forgiveness of sin. I would like to end with a time of prayer, a time of asking God to make us into a people that will go and invite others to come meet him. A time of offering ourselves as the body of Christ, ready to serve him in this world. A time of asking God to help us here when he is calling us. No, when he is calling others. Let us join together in praying that the Holy Spirit would abound among us and that we would move in the grace God has given us and that grace that God has poured out on our lives. Let us pray. Holy Lord, make us your people. May we hear you. Make us your hands and your feet in this world. Make us people who will call others to you. May the grace we carry grow faith in those around us. May us likewise be able to hear your voice.